shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Understanding righteousness. The dictionary defines righteous as the quality or state of being righteous, righteous conduct, and the quality or state of being just or rightful. This is almost like defining an egg as an egg, and so it will be necessary to look further. Righteous is defined as acting in an upright, moral way. Virtuous has a slang connotation of being absolute, genuine, or wonderful. Righteousness is a noun, and righteous is an adjective. Both have the same Old English root, righteous, which is a compound word made up of right and wise. To be right wise would mean that there must be wisdom about what is right. The rub is that the definition of right is so varied that it's like beauty and is in the eye of the beholder. Everyone has their own concept of right and usually equates it with fair. People are always saying, well, that is not right or fair. Ever hear the expression, life is not fair? So their concept of life is that it is not right. The other part of right-wise is wisdom. This is defined as the quality or state of being wise. Knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with just judgment as to action, sagacity, discernment, or insight. Without wisdom, there will be no understanding of righteousness, and so where is wisdom found? Look around. It is apparent where wisdom does not exist. There's none coming out of the sacred cow of education. Is any demonstrated in government? Society's never been the bastion of wisdom, but only regurgitates its diet of acceptable norms, such as the belief in a flat world, evolution, and the Big Bang formation of the universe. Columbus and DNA research have shown this worldly wisdom to be nothing but children's nursery rhymes. Wisdom must determine what is right, for only then will there be right-wise, righteous, righteousness. A whole course of study has been dedicated to finding wisdom, and it is called philosophy. The English word comes from the transliteration of a compound Greek word made up of phileo, which means love, and sophi, which means wisdom. Those who are always seeking wisdom were called the lovers of wisdom, philosophers. Throughout the millennia of time, man has attempted to bring forth wisdom, but to no avail. Why? Because man's mental processes are flawed, and so all his wisdom soon falls. Yesterday's wisdom of men is not today's wisdom of men, and what is accepted today will suffer the same fate in the world of all tomorrows. True, absolute, everlasting wisdom does not come from the mind of man. Can it be found? Yes. It will be necessary to move beyond that which is temporal to that which is eternal. The eternal mind does exist, and this mind communicates with only a select few. This selection is done by this same eternal being, which the world calls God, but knows nothing of his power, since this knowledge is also given by him to only those few he chooses. In times past, he caused certain men to write about him in a book, which is called the Bible, and it contains the wisdom and knowledge that he wishes to share with his chosen few. None of his revelations will ever be understood by humanity and will remain a great mystery to them. They can never become educated enough to figure any of it out, for all understanding of him comes from him to those he chooses to give it and when he chooses to give it. This statement is repugnant to man's flesh-driven ego. Man believes that on his own, he can learn and understand anything, and this concept forever bars the gate behind which truth dwells. No matter how hard he tries, the walls of the divine treasure house will never be breached. Narrow is the gate and straight is the way, which leads into the celestial city that only a few ever find. They do not find it on their own, but are led there by the almighty hand that created all things and is in control of all things. This supreme and all-powerful God does have a name, and all Christendom is completely ignorant of it. The name is revealed in the Old Testament, which they reject by proclaiming that they are New Testament Christians who are the believers and followers of a new God whose name they do not even know. According to them, their Christian group can be joined if anyone accepts, believes, and follows the way dictated by them. They call this the way to salvation. Not only must their God take those acceptors, believers, and followers of their way to heaven, but also must send all those who do not bow down to a fiery eternal hell. Now, their God is a debtor to all humanity, and this debt is incurred with the physical birth of each new two-legged creature. This religion has a God who is nothing more than their genie in a bottle who has an ever-increasing mountain of debt. Gee, that sounds like what is happening to every individual corporation and government. Well, is this not appropriate that a debt-ridden God have followers in his image and after his likeness? If this is the condition of the world, then truly he must be the God of this world. Here's the cold water of sobering truth. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. Now, here comes the clincher when the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The validity of wisdom is certainly defined by its source, and this fountainhead is not for man or any of his contrived religions and their many gods, but shines forth from the Bible. The fear of the Lord Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Psalms 111:10. The fear of the Lord Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 1:7. The key that unlocks the gateway to wisdom and knowledge is the fear of the Lord Yahweh. Like everything else, Christianism will either twist fear into something completely opposite or quickly remind you that this Old Testament stuff no longer applies, for they are New Testament believers. Maybe they should pay attention to the Apostle Paul's indictment in Romans 3:18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7:1. 1 Peter 2:17 does not mince any words, but get straight to the point. Fear God. Revelation 11:18 mentions rewards for them that fear thy name. And this message is continued in Revelation 14:7, 15:4, and 19:5. Howl and cry aloud to the highest heaven, all Christendom, for it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 10:31. Fear of the living God Yahweh is not taught by Christianism, for it has another gospel, which is fear the church with all its edicts, decrees, rites, rituals, doctrines, duties, and established hierarchies. Everyone must bow to its supreme authority. It stands there if it is God, all the while bringing the souls of men into its captivity. A few will even quote a snippet from a verse in 1 John 4:18 that perfect love casteth out fear. That's the person that just said this. Do you have perfect love? For anyone who thinks they do, then turn to 1 Corinthians and read the 13th chapter and ask, what say you now? The order of things is that only fear brings respect, and only respect brings love. If this is too complicated to fathom, then think about how one tries to obtain love. On the first date, there is the fear of not looking just right, of not saying the right thing, and of not doing the right thing. Who would dare to run the risk of being their own self and would even do something that's completely unlike them? Will what I do tonight cause him or her not to respect me in the morning? Why would this be a concern? It is because I want them to love me. When fear leaves, respect dies, and love no longer exists. The fear of losing something only exists for what is valued, looked at with respectful appreciation, and thereby is love. This is how perfect love is built and maintained. Love does not live in any relationship if the other two, fear and respect, do not exist in their divine order. When people begin to belittle each other, then there is no fear, respect, or love. The relationship is doomed. Without the first and second elements in their proper place, no marriage is really a marriage, but is a nightmarish living hell. This is why there is a plan for divorce set out in the scriptures. Jesus addresses the matter of marriage and divorce in Matthew 19:3-9. And it is in verse 8 that the true reason is set forth, that is, because of the hardness of your heart. the hard heart has no fear, which precludes all respect, which gendereth love. Thus, the love of God will never exist without its root, the fear of God. Without it, there is no perfect person, and certainly not perfect love. The undeniable fact is that people are consumed with all kinds of fears which pertain to this fleshly existence. They are afraid of dying, getting sick, losing their job, not being able to pay the mortgage, being disliked, and a legion of others. But there is no fear of Yahweh God which brings all these other fears upon them. Christianism realizes that keeping people in fear of the church with its doctrinal decrees is necessary to keep its religion reigning supreme over the souls of mankind, and it cannot afford to have it replaced by the fear of Yahweh God. Man's supreme fear is what directs his whole life. All you churchgoers, listen to what the Bible says. Oh, fear the Lord Yahweh, ye his saints. For there is no one of them that fear him. Psalms 34:9. Ye that fear the Lord Yahweh, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all the seed of Israel. Psalms 22:23. Serve the Lord Yahweh with fear and rejoice with trembling. Psalms 2:11. What man is he that feareth the Lord Yahweh? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. The secret of the Lord Yahweh is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Psalms 25:12-14. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord Yahweh pitieth them that fear him. But the mercy of the Lord Yahweh is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Psalms 103:11-13-17-18. Praise ye the Lord Yahweh. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord Yahweh, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Psalms 112:1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord Yahweh, that walketh in his ways. Thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord Yahweh. Psalms 128:1-4. Those who praise Yahweh, keep his covenant, remember and do his commandments, delighteth greatly in them, walk in his ways, rejoice with trembling, and fear him, are those he pities. They will walk not, and they will receive his mercy, which endureth forever. These are but a few verses from Psalms that put things in a proper perspective. The first step, the beginning of wisdom, is the fear of Yahweh God. This is the knowledge that he is all-powerful, that he is supreme, that he created all things, that no other power exists that is not exactly as Yahweh created it, that he is in absolute control of all things, that everything is done as he expressly dictates, and that he can destroy, terminate anything at any time according to his will. No force in heaven has any say in the matter, and certainly not his creation on earth, humanity included. Whose will can override Yahweh? God's. Man has no choice in the matter. Did that statement go against what you believe? If so, then pay attention to what Jesus says in John 6:44 and 65. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And he said, therefore I say unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Let's see. No man can come to Jesus except it was given unto him by Yahweh. And it is God that draws him to Yahushua the Anointed. Jesus goes on to tell the disciples that they did not choose him. Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. John 6:70. Even though churchianity teaches that all people are children of the devil and must choose Jesus, and then God's obliged to make them one of his children, this is not what was said in this verse, but the very opposite. 30,000 denominations under the Christian banner today. There is no fear of Yahweh taught in it, but only the fear of nonconforming to its ecumenical edicts from the beginning of the Adam in earth. The old serpent has tried to spread another wisdom, and he, being the God of this world, has been very successful in carrying out his job of blinding the minds of men to the truth. 2 Corinthians 4:4. If this is not understood, then go back to Genesis 3:1-6, where the serpent seduced the woman. He convinced her that by eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that her eyes shall be opened, and she shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Believing this evil doctrine, she saw it as a tree to be desired to make one wise, and not the deadly thing it was. Where did this pursuit of man, by his own efforts of becoming godly and obtain wisdom, lead? Did it not bring death? It is the old serpent that is the great dragon of Revelation 12:9, which is also called the devil and Satan. This is not some childish story about a snake hanging out of a tree talking to Eve, trying to get her to eat an apple, but is about Satan who transforms himself into an angel of light, is pointed out in 2 Corinthians 11:14. It is the God of this world that wants to see all men wallowing around in the hog pen of death. As Hebrews 2:14-15 says, for as much then as the children Elohim are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Yahushua, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The chains of bondage the serpent, Satan, was forging in the Garden of Eden to enslave the Elohim children of Yahweh, had the appearance of golden bracelets which were to be desired to make one wise. So there are two wisdoms at work. One comes from man wanting to be as God, and the other comes from the fear of Yahweh God. The God of this world, as the angel of light, is also a roaring lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. This snake oil salesman, as the God of this world, continually roars out the same message based upon the fear of death, which stampedes the sheep into the slaughter pen of Christianism that promotes another gospel and not the one of the Bible. Their wisdom is nothing but strong delusion used to keep men in the bondage of the fear of death. This is the wisdom of the world and not of Yahweh God. What people fear is what drives them. Look at what is going on in the world. There is no fear of God, but only the fear of some organization of this world, whether it is society, religion, or government. And it is this world order that demands allegiance to its wisdom and God. There is no skirting the issue. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of Yahweh God. The woman's capitulation to the serpent's statements demonstrated that she had no fear of God, but instead the desire to be wise and like God, which brought about disobedience to God. It was only after eating the fruit of this tree of knowledge of good and evil came the realization of nakedness and the feeble attempt of trying to cover up what had been done. God did not let this slide by, but his voice came into the garden in great fear came upon thee, Adam, and thee, woman, who knew full well what they had done. Try as they might, they could no longer hide out and escape their meeting with Yahweh God. God asked a question, and then began the blame game. His judgment was rendered, and so began the long journey into wisdom. Things are still the same when the voice, word of Yahweh God comes walking into our lives. No matter how hard we try to hide, no matter what we do to cover up, no matter whom we blame, Yahweh's judgment comes forth and we begin that same journey into wisdom. He leads us into a world of hard lessons which give us knowledge. That fearful encounter with the living God never leaves us the same way we were. Things are put into their proper order. Yahweh strips away our created fig leaf covering, puts coats of skin upon us, which will endure the rigors of this earthly existence. All the creations of men to clothe themselves will never survive such a perilous, painful pilgrimage. Here is the rightwise, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6. Sometimes it is easier to understand what a thing is by looking at what it is not. The Apostle Paul lists many things that are not righteous in Romans 1:18 through 32. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and the birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Just take the last four verses and look at the list. The unrighteous are without understanding, without natural affection, covenant breakers, will not keep their word, implacable, cannot be appeased, envious, covetous, malicious, deceitful, whisperers, backbiters, disobedient to parents, full of debate, malignity, intense ill will, unmerciful, proud, boasters, despiteful, fornicators, inventors of evil things, full of wickedness, murderers, and outright haters of God. Just one item in this list denotes unrighteousness. Do you know anyone who's a gossip? How about someone that is despiteful or proud? Is there someone who is hateful and always stirring up conflict? What about homosexuals or people that will not keep their promises? Do any of these attend your church? Where is there any character or integrity in this list? Where is there any fear of God? Where is there any semblance of righteousness to be found? Is it taught in schools, or is the acceptance of gays? Is it preached in the churches, or is the doing away with the law of Yahweh God? Is it found in government, or are the most abominable laws passed and enforced? Are not all these institutions a cesspool of unrighteousness? The first place that the English word righteous appears in the Bible is Genesis 7:1. And the Lord Yahweh said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation, nor age. The Hebrew word tzedek is not only translated righteous in the King James Version, but also is rendered just, righteous man, and lawful. Simply put, Noah and his ancestors had obeyed Yahweh, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord Yahweh. These are the generations, Toledah, racial ancestry of Noah. Noah was a just, testic man and perfect, tall man, without blemish, in his generations, Dora ages, and Noah walked with God. Genesis 6:8-9. His ancestry had been kept racially pure according to Yahweh's commandments and was without blemish throughout the ages, which was unique in comparison with all the others round about him who were whatnot mongrels. Because of this clinging onto Yahweh's truth, Noah was a just, righteous man. This is no different than Genesis 15:6, which is the first time the word righteousness appears in the Bible. And this pertains to Abram, whose name God would change to Abraham. Yahweh told Abram that his seed would be as numerous as the stars of heaven. And he believed in the Lord Yahweh, and he counted it to him for righteousness. After the great horror fell upon Abram, these words of God were forever etched into his total consciousness, and he would hold fast to them come what may. Did Abram fear God Yahweh? Yes. How is this known? Read the first verse in this chapter where Yahweh said, Fear not, Abram. Genesis 15:1. The fear of Yahweh and of no other will be the foundation upon which he builds their knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. This flows from the Father and is not based upon any man's belief, acceptance, profession, or deeds. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James 1:17. And folks, you do not get anything from Yahweh because of your works. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Romans 4:4. God is never your debtor, but according to Christianity, if you do something, then God will do something. Follow their logic to its conclusion. If I say, mow my yard and I'll give you $10, then if you mow my yard, I owe you something. Your act made me your debtor. And you can walk right up and demand, pay me, fork it over. This logic is not seen to be completely contrary to the scriptures, then there is no fear of Yahweh present, and only the childishness of a spoiled kid that thinks his daddy only exists to provide for his every whim. There will never be any righteousness in Christianity, for they reject the very word of God, which gives the instructions about righteousness. This is clearly stated in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Has the light come on yet about where righteousness is found? Jesus, Yahweshua, commands, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. The righteousness of God is to be sought. He will reveal it through his word. This is why Paul tells Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. If you want to be blessed of Yahweh, then listen to Jesus. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 5:6. Sow to yourself in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord Yahweh till he come and reign righteousness upon you. Hosea 10:12. Like everything else, our righteousness comes from God. It is his gift to us. He opens our eyes and gives us understanding. God says in Isaiah 54:17, their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord Yahweh. Lead me, O Lord Yahweh, in thy righteousness. Psalms 5:8. From the revelation of his word, we learn that his commandments are righteousness. Psalms 119:172. This message is only for Yahweh's children, Elohim, because only they have the spirit of their father. These things from him are spirit, and are spiritually discerned by that sameness of spirit. Only the receiver that is set at the same frequency as the transmitter will get the broadcast. So there is nothing here for the world. The Elohim, who have come through the racial doorway of the Adam of Genesis 2:7, that are dwelling in white Adamic bodies, bring that spirit of their father with them into the earth. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Romans 8:16-17. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. 1 Corinthians 2:12. It is only through the gateway of the Spirit between the Father in heaven and his children Elohim in earth that he gives us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Ephesians 1:17. as we were with him in heaven before the foundation of the world, he is with us in the earth, putting on a flesh and blood body, created a lot of interference in this communication, and Jesus, Yahweshua, cleared the static off the airways between us and our Father. Yahweh knew that there would be interference on the line, and this was taken care of before we ever entered 3D. This is why Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, Revelation 13:8. For there is one God, Yahweh, one mediator between God and men, Elohim, the man Christ Jesus, the anointed Yahweshua, 1 Timothy 2:5. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed, race, of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him, Yahweshua, to be made like unto his brethren, Elohim, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Hebrews 2:16-17. For it became him, Yahweh, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he, Yahweshua, that sanctifieth, and they who are sanctified, Elohim, are all of one family. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, Elohim. Hebrews 2:10-11. Now go to Jesus' prayer in John 17:1-26. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. 20-23. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. 9. The world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. 14-16. And I have declared unto them thy name, Yahweh, and will declare that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. 26. Numerous times Jesus speaks about being killed and tells the disciples that they will not be left alone. This was the message in John 14:1-31. But pay attention to a couple of verses. I go unto my Father, 12, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. 16-18. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. 20. This indwelling of Jesus in us is stated in Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. There is always an abiding presence of Yahweh with his brethren Elohim, which is in them, their spirit, for we all, as the children of Yahweh, are eternally linked. This is the oneness of the Father and children, and this divine seed transcends this world, past, present, and future. Jesus said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. John 6:63. The struggle that goes on within each Elohim in earth is the battle between flesh and spirit. Just the presence of this conflict identifies Elohim, for no other race or any of the creation has such eternal strife. As the children grow, so does the power of the spirit, and the power of the flesh becomes less and less until it's finally put to death. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Romans 8:13. Jesus addresses this with Nicodemus in John 3:5-8. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Moving to the next chapter, what does Jesus tell the woman at the well? But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:23-24. It is that divine spirit in Elohim that receives all truth from the divine spirit of Yahweh Father. The understanding of righteousness flows into us through the direct revelation of Yahweh communicated through the Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit. What you understand today will be built upon tomorrow. As the light grows, our vision becomes better and the misty fog begins to lift. The question now arises, why must the Elohim come to earth to be educated? Is not it the place in which the kingdom of God is to be established? And is it not to be administered by the Elohim? Where is it that Jesus is to return and reign and rule? This is understanding righteousness. For all the works of Yahweh are righteous. He gives us all things and is in control of all things. This is God's predestinated plan, and he will bring it to pass. This end of the age will be a time of great tribulation for the creation, but not so for the maturing Elohim. They will rejoice, for the kingdoms of men are coming to an end and being replaced by the kingdom of Yahweh God. His kingdom is to come, and his will is to be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, all Elohim, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his anointed, and of the increase of his government. There shall be no end. All this is the righteousness of Yahweh toward his creation and his children Elohim. Everything in heaven and earth will proclaim, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. All Elohim, while gladly singing the joyful praises of your Father Yahweh, you can confidently declare that he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is his gift to his children, whom he foreknew and predestinated to be righteous, just. And this is the key to understand righteousness.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a CD of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.